Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
I want to say this, you have an amazing location, pastors, as well. Gray and Mel, and we've known them for years, and they're phenomenal, and I can't wait to see what takes place. And Chris and Rachel, old youth, they used to be in my youth department as kids, ratty little kids. It says my age, doesn't it? And Joel, you haven't changed at all, still ratty as ever. Anyway, but it's good coming to see some familiar faces and great people that are around the place. And my name's Sam. Hi, I'm Sam, and I'm married to Carolina. And I think you had my wife out here about a month ago. She came and brought the word. Just to let you know, we've been married for around probably 16 years. And you're probably like, no way. He still looks 21. Yes, and I always will, because, you know, that's the way it goes. And we've got four kids. We've been busy. And we still are. But it's awesome seeing what is happening here. So have you turn to the person next to you and say, hey, come on. This is a place to be. Come on, let's get a bit of excitement here. Like, I'm used to a bit of talking. I did youth ministry for like 18 years, and people would actually talk while you're preaching. That's okay. I understand, but it's good. But this morning, I'm going to share a word, and we're going into this month called Love Is. Everyone go, oh, Love Is. And this is the moment if you're in a relationship right now and you're thinking of getting married. I will allow you not to have room for the Holy Spirit. You can just put your arm around your loved one right now, Joel. Didn't need permission right there at all. If you're married and you've been married for quite some time now, and I want to say this, is that you actually don't have to leave room for the Holy Spirit right next to you. You can actually just hug your wife during church, or even better still, move the kids out of the way and sit next to your wife. Whoa, come on. That's not holy. That's not church. But I always say this, is that in this month of Love Is, and we're touching on all the love, words in the Bible. And one thing that I've realized is the church needs healthy marriages. The church needs marriages that represent God. They need marriages that represent what it is to be followers of Christ. I believe this, is that you look in heaven and you hear about the Trinity. What, you've got God, you've got the Holy Spirit, and you've got the Son. And you look at that, and that's the Trinity. That's what we see spiritually. But here on earth, you have marriage, and that's what I believe marriage is. It's God, it's a husband and a wife. It represents the Trinity here on earth. It's the closest thing that we have as a representation of who God is in heaven, the relationship. And so this is why it's so important that our marriages as Christians, as followers of Christ, succeed and represent who Christ is in our life. That's what love is. And so today I want to touch on these, and you know, for time's sake, we've got the four love languages, or the four definitions of love that we're going through in the Bible. The first one was eros, which is a sensual, a romantic type of love. You know, the love that is between two lovers. And let me put this in, it's a love that is designed for marriage and inside of marriage and the covenant of marriage, not outside. Well, get with the time. No, I'm talking about a biblical perspective this morning. And so I look at that, and this is where that love is designed. And when that love is in that design, then blessing flows. There's a philia love, which is a type that, you know, is described of a powerful bond that's seen between a deep friendship. This is a friendship type of love. The other one is storae, which is develops naturally between parents, children, and family. And then the last one, which is agape, which really just entwines all of them, which is an unconditional love. And what I find in the covenant of marriage, in marriage, all these things belong. All these definitions of love belong. And so this morning I want to talk about the covenant of marriage. For some of you here this morning, you're like, well, you know, I'm just growing up. I'm just hitting my teens. I'm just going through my young adult years. Well, this will relate to you sometime in the future. If you've just started dating someone right now or seeing someone right now and you haven't decided what the end goal is, well, let me tell you, the end goal of dating is this: marriage. Amen. I just want to put that out there. It just helps people get a focus. You know, because sometimes you ask, why are you dating? Huh? Just to make sure all the parts fit. Husband and wife, male, female, they all fit. God designed it. It's okay. You'll work that out in marriage. And so you look at these things. This is the covenant of marriage. Today, if you're married and you're here, I'm praying blessing and favor over your marriage right now. We're going to be talking about the covenant of marriage and what it is to be married. It may be here, and I know that life doesn't go the way that we always intended it. And for some here, you're coming out of a broken relationship or you know, things just didn't quite happen. That just happens in life. I pray that answers come to you this morning. Answers on how that when you engage again, when your heart gets healed, when your heart, you know, where God comes and makes you whole again, that you'll be able to step through that door again, being able to trust and step into, if your heart and desire is, a covenant relationship, a covenant marriage. So all that out of the way, let me pray. Father God, today I pray for your Spirit to come and move over individual lives. Lord God, I pray that each and every person gets one key, something that will unlock, Father, that your Spirit will drop it in their heart. Lord God, that will revolutionize their life, their marriage, and their future. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. The covenant of marriage, which is a coming together. It's where God brings the divine and the ordinary. It's where God brings the divine and the ordinary. Notice that today I'm talking about covenant of marriage, not contract of marriage. You know, you look at today's society and a lot of people go into marriage as though it's a contract. Or some of us, we actually sign a contract before we go into marriage, so just as to protect our own assets. You see it all the time in Hollywood. And you've got these things as like, you know what, we'll sign this contract, we'll try this marriage for 10 years, and if after 10 years we'll both go our separate ways. And sometimes that's how the world perceives marriage. It perceives this thing as though it's just a contract, a union between two people, but then all of a sudden it can finish at any moment. But when you step into a God marriage, when you step into a God covenant, what it is, it's a long life commitment. It's lifelong. It goes all into eternity. Well, that's a bit heavy right there. You're saying I've got to commit to the person for life? We'll read about that in a minute. But it's a covenant. It's coming together. So then what's the difference between a contract and a covenant? Let me put it this way. A covenant says that I will take for me. In other words, I'm coming into this marriage and I'm going to take everything for me. A covenant says I give myself to thee. I give myself to thee. I lay myself down for you. A contract says that you had better do it. You know what? You better do it. We're signing this contract and you better fulfill this or else you're out. Or else you've broken the contract. You're out of here. I don't want to ever see you again. But a covenant says this. It says, hey, how may I serve you? How may I serve? How much would marriages flourish if we just understood those first two principles? Is it moving into marriage is that we say, you know what, I give myself to thee and hey, you know what, actually, I'm going to serve you as well. A contract says, what do I get? Okay, in this contract, what am I going to get? If I'm going to give you something, if I'm going to sign this over to you, what am I going to get in return? What are those benefits that I'm going to have? You know, a covenant says, well, what can I give? It's not about actually what I'm getting, but it's what am I going to give to you? What am I going to lay down for you? A contract says, I'll meet you halfway. Oh, you know, how about we just meet halfway? I don't like lamb, so how about we just go beef? Let me just meet you halfway. I don't like... But a covenant says that I will give you 100% plus. I'll lay down my life. I'll give you everything plus more. Plus more. Well, that's a bit harsh, Sam. Covenant relationship. A contract says I have to. You have to. I have to. I have to. I don't want to, but I have to. The wife rings you and says, hey, you need to be home by 5. I have to. It's in the contract. And there's a lot of people saying, "Yo, I have to do these things. I have to." But a covenant says that I want to. I want to give my life. I want to be there for my kids. I want to be there for my wife. How much more would it change if people got this idea is that they want to fulfill the desires of their spouse? How much more would marriages flourish? And I will say this, when you look at a contract, you look at a covenant, when you look at a marriage and how God has called it to be, is that you need God. You can't fulfill the covenant by yourself. You need God. In our marriages, we need God. Like, honestly, I want to please my wife. I seriously do. But honestly, if you're married and you know women and you know your wife, she doesn't know what she wants half the time. So I need God. I need Him more than ever. I need the Spirit of God. I need Him to speak to me. It's like that moment where every woman goes shopping. Well, what are you going shopping for? I don't know. What do you want? I don't know what I want, but I know when I see it. How much harder is it for us guys? We need God. You need God. But I want to. My desire is I want to. I want to know what she wants before she even knows it. That's my desire. How much more would marriages flourish if everyone had that idea, is that, you know what, before they even wanted it, I had it prepared. Before you even want it, Chris, come on, mate, lift your game. Before. Reading her mind. A covenant marriage is intended by God to be lifelong relationship, amplifying unconditional love, reconciliation, sexual purity, and growth. A covenant is an eternal commitment with God. People can negotiate out of contracts, but not out of covenant. A covenant marriage. Right now, we need covenant marriages. Marriages that are steadfast in the love of God, that come from the very heart of God and never cease. Never cease. They never cease. So today I want to just talk quickly. What makes up a marriage? What are some quick keys that make up a marriage? The first thing is it love for one another? You know, the vows that we exchange at our wedding reflect the relationship already bound by steadfast love and faithfulness. Those things right there, it's the love, the steadfast, this is what we're bound here already. The degree in which these words have meaning come in direct proportion to the unconditional love that dwells within our heart for one another whom we're repeating them to. That's the vows. It's where we share our love for one another. It's where we stand there and we say, you know what, I love you, but it's not just an I love, but it's an unconditional love. You know, through thick and thin, through, you know, unhealth, through death, you know, I'm going to love you. I'm going to give of myself unconditionally. I'm going to lay my life down for you. I'm going to be here for you no matter what. You know, when you make that statement, when you make those vows, there are a few things that take place. The first thing is that we actually need to take responsibility. Is that you can love someone, but you actually have to be responsible to fulfill that love. You actually have to be responsible to outwork that love. You have to be responsible. You know, we need to take responsibility for our marriages. We need to take responsibility for the commitment. Now, married people, you need to take responsibility. As partners in a covenant marriage or relationship, we are responsible for our actions. An example of this is, you know, to remain sexually pure in our thoughts and our actions towards our spouse. We need to remain. We need to be there. We need to take responsibility for ourselves. Let me say this. If you're not married here right now, again, this applies to you. You need to take responsibility for your thoughts, your actions, and your sexual purity. The Bible talks about it. Don't waken love prematurely. Is that let love just stay aside? In other words, let eros, let romantic, let that sexual, just put it aside until the time is right to awaken it. That time that is right to awaken it is in marriage. That time, and this is the thing, is that God puts these things in place to protect our soul, to protect us as individuals, because he knows that we can't handle it if we step outside his ideals, his standards. He says, you know, I'm not trying to be mean to you, but what I'm trying to do is protect you so that you can live free, so you can live on purpose, so that you can live to the full potential that I have for your life. Friend, today, if you've done, you know, you've stepped outside of that design in that area in your life, it is still not too late. God can still bring restoration. He can still bring healing. And he still wants the best for your life. There are a number of people that have come in off the streets in our location. And they've come out of hurt. They've come out of dysfunction. They've come out of an abusive situation for a number of years with multiple partners. They've come and they've found healing. They've found wholeness. They've found that, you know what, now that I'm walking in God's plan and purpose for my life, I know. I wish I'd known it earlier. They've found healing. And now for those ones that have walked out of that past, walked out of those situations, they're in a moment on the journey of doing it right and getting married in the next year. But what I find is they're walking through, they're finding it hard. They're like, no, this is what we used to. No, we don't do that anymore. But what they're finding is freedom in doing it right. God has a design for marriage. He has a design for you. He designs this for each and every one of us, but it's our job to take responsibility. It's our job, husbands. It's your job to take responsibility for yourself. Wives, it's your job to take responsibility for yourself. Powerful people take responsibility for themselves. I can't change my wife. My wife can change herself. But I can inspire her to change. I can encourage her to change. I can speak into her life to bring change. But it's not my job to change her. Today, if your marriage is like that, and you've been thinking, oh, if only my wife would change, well, my question today is this: are you inspiring her to change? And are you taking the responsibility? It's heavy, but it's truth. It's truth. The covenant of marriage, we need to take responsibility. The second thing is it's choice. It takes choice. To love one another, we need to have responsibility for it, but we need to choose it. It takes choice. Covenant marriages are not built on deceit or manipulation. They're built on deep friendship, philia love. Friends, I want to say this. Before you awaken love, eros, get your friendship right. Get your deep friendship right. Because at the end of the day, that is the glue that will keep you together. It is the glue that will keep you together to be intimate, to be able to speak with your wife, to be able to speak with your spouse. And you have to choose. It's a daily choice. It's a daily choice. I remember when we were dating, Carolina and myself, and she's Polish. So if you don't know any Polish people, sometimes they can be hot-headed. They can be just, you know, they just go off. Hey, why are you laughing? But it's just in this moment of, you know, we're, you know, working each other out, working out what's going to happen. And so she asked me a question one day. She goes, so do you love me? I'm like, yeah, I love you. She goes, okay. You reckon you'll love me in 10 years' time? I'm like, yeah. Do you reckon you'll... And the reason she's asking me is because all she's known and seen is dysfunctional relationship, where relationships have broken down, people have fallen out of love. And so she's asking me these questions. And then she asked me this question, so, well, how do you know? How do you know? Because she was getting quite upset, because I'm like, yeah, I love you. Yeah, yeah, I love you. Yeah, yeah, I love you. Well, how do you know you're going to love me in 10 years' time? How can you even say that? And I'm like, well, because I choose. Well. So you're saying you have to choose me now? I was like, well, actually, right now, yes, I do. No, I didn't say that. But it's a choice. It's a constant choice. Every day you have to choose. I will say this, love, it's not an emotional decision. Because your emotions will always lie to you. Your emotions will deceive you. It's a choice. It's taking responsibility and then choosing that, which, hey, I'm going to love you. I'm going to be in this covenant relationship with you all my life. And we're going to represent who God is in our marriage. We're going to represent Him on earth. That's what our marriage is going to look like. Ephesians 5, 22 to 26 talks about marriage, Christ and the church. It says, wives, submit to your husband, own husband. Notice that. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as Christ, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. Now, we hear this all the time, and all the husbands are like, wife, hear that? You've got to submit. You just got to get in line. You got to do what I say. Yeah, husbands, have you actually read what you've got to do? Let me give you a clue. You got to die. You got to die. Let me be like, huh? Yes. You know, lay down your life. Die. Give over your desires. Die. Do everything for your family, for your wife. Die. And this is what I find, is that when I die to myself with the right attitude and right heart, and I lay myself down for my wife and my family, what I find is God pours blessing over that relationship. Because what I think and what I want is just a counterfeit to what God has for me when I do things His way. For some of you here, it's time to put the Xbox on the shelf. If you're 30, 40, and still playing Xbox for hours and hours and hours, you're not going to have a healthy relationship. Put it on eBay. Like, honestly, if you want your marriage to flourish, invest into your marriage. Take her on a date. Take her out. Well, what do you mean? I've got to sit across the table and talk face to face? Like, I was just texting her while I was playing. That was awesome. Weren't we talking? No, face to face. It's called relationship. For some of us, we just need to die to ourselves. We need to lay it down. And I will say that if you want to inspire your wife, if you want to inspire your husband, then I will say this, speak highly of them. Inspire them. And there's too many of us talking about And especially wife, don't talk about your husband to everyone else. Don't talk about all those things that start talking good about him. Start uplifting him. Yeah, but you don't know my husband. Yeah, I don't know him. Yeah, but you don't know him. I don't want to know you. Anyway, how about you change the conversation you have? Start inspiring, start speaking life and hope. Husbands, start inspiring your wives. You want to see change in them? Inspire them to change. Speak into their life. Speak hope, life, purpose, destiny into their life. It's a choice. We need to choose life, and the way you choose life in your marriage is how you speak to your marriage. Draw them closer to God. Draw them closer to the Spirit of God. Draw them to the presence of God. Husbands, lead your families to church. I hear a lot of people that come to the end of the day, well, you know what, we're so busy doing everything else, and now my kids are not in church when they're young adults. Now my kids are doing all this. Well, did you even come to church when they were in their teens? Well, no, we had all this. It wasn't a priority. Husbands, wives, lead. We're supposed to represent who God is here on earth. In your marriages, we need to choose. We need to take wives, submit. Submission is freely given and grows from respect, not fear and manipulation. Husbands, choose daily to love your wife as Christ loved the church. You must freely choose to love and honor her in spite of the fact that you may not be feeling or feel like loving and honoring her. Wives, goes the same. It goes the same. You can never trust your feelings. If we build our marriages on feelings, it would be like building on shifting sand. Sand can never support the foundations of marriage. It takes trust. Trust. After you choose, you've got to nurture the relationship. You nurture the relationship. Our marriage will grow as we build up one another in love. We need to value our spouse more than ourselves. As we experience unconditional love of Christ, we are able to love our spouse as he loves us. As he loves us, we need to nurture. It needs to be a safe place. Wives, you need to be a safe place for your husband to come to. Husbands, you need to be a safe place for your wives to come to. You know, a lot of the reasons marriages break down is because it hasn't been a safe place. Because the wife comes and shares her heart, but as she shares her heart, the husband slams her heart. And so when the next point comes where she comes to share her heart, she thinks twice and goes, you know what, I'm not going to receive anything from this. And then all of a sudden she attaches herself to someone else. If we want to save our marriages, if we want to have strong marriages, it needs to be a safe place. And today, if you're confiding in someone else outside of your marriage, I will say this, stop. I will say this, stop. I will say get as much help for your marriage as possible. Come and see Graham and Mel. Come and see some of the pastors and say, hey, listen, you know what? We need to work together. We need to work this out because we want to keep our marriage. We want to keep our covenant. We want to see God honored in our covenant. But come, make sure it's a safe place. You know, at night, sit on the couch together. Put the girls, the kids. I've got two girls and two boys. Put the kids to bed. Sit on the couch, have a coffee, not a coffee, a tea, whatever you drink. For some here, you probably need to put the scotch away, but just have a tea. And just share, how was your day? Have an intimate relationship. Have a safe place. Have a time where it's just open so you can build and nurture the relationship, the deep relationship that God has called us. And the last one is that we need commitment. A covenant is built on selfless love, freely given and freely received. It's a commitment freely offered with no strings attached. Freely offered with no strings attached. Paul put it this way, love never fails. It needs to be unconditional. Friend, your love for your wife inside of marriage needs to be unconditional. The covenant of marriage. God has blessing. He has favor for those that join together in marriage. There's a blessing and a favor over marriage that it is for no one else. Where the two become one, God pours out over those relationships, pours out over that marriage, pours out over that covenant. Because it's not just a covenant between, you know, you and your spouse. It's between you, your spouse, and God. It's between a husband and wife and God. That's a biblical marriage. That's a biblical marriage. And when you can understand that, when you can come together with that, with an agreement and keeping God as the center, then He breathes life over that marriage. He breathes life over your family. And those that are around you, those that know you, will start to look in at your relationship and go, you know what? They go through struggles. They go through hardships. You know, their life isn't all perfect, but how do they keep it together? How can they walk with joy? How can they walk with hope? Because there's a God factor. Because in all that you do, you honor God. Friend, today, God wants to bless you. If you're not married yet, He wants to bless you. He wants to preserve you. He wants you to walk in favor and honor. He wants the best for your life. And He says, hey, listen, save yourself for marriage. Not because He's a cruel God, because He's a loving God. Because He wants the best for your life. Because He has someone designed and picked out just for you. Just for you. Too many times young people get ripped off from the bombardment of this world. Try before you buy. Experiment. Do all these things. And then all of a sudden when you hit your mid-20s, you get to a place and it's like, God, I don't know whether you're truly God. This world is meant. The reason it is, it's because you haven't walked within His ways. And He's saying, hey, listen, I want to protect you. I want to breathe upon you. Will you just walk with me? Because I have someone that is designed for you. And when you walk with me, when you have relationship with me, when the time is right, I will bring that person alongside you. And when that person comes alongside you, I will breathe upon you. And then when you walk into the covenant of marriage, I will breathe upon both of you. But the good news is today is if you haven't, maybe you haven't walked in God's ideal, maybe you've dropped the ball, maybe you haven't waited till marriage, it's okay because God's grace will cover you. God's mercy will cover you. He'll restore you. He'll bring you back to whole, like those ones that I spoke about. He's brought them back. He's brought healing. He's brought restoration. He's brought wholeness. He's brought favor. He's brought blessing. And they're going to live the best lives yet. They're going to give the forks to the devil. And say, devil, you had your go. You tried to rip me. But God has the last laugh. Young person here, don't wake in love till it's time. Don't try before you buy. Walk in purity. walk in wholeness. You'll walk in peace of mind. You'll walk in purpose. You'll walk in wholeness. And I'm declaring it today. You might be hearing these things and saying, Sam, you know what? My world is shattered. I've been there. I've tried that. You need to take hold of these words today because there's healing. There's wholeness. There's purpose. There's life. He has you today in the palm of His hands, and His Spirit is going to intertwine your life. And I believe this is that healing is going to come. Healing is going to come. It's going to mend. And when you step into that day, when you step into marriage, it'll be like the first day where God says, I've restored that which was stolen. I'm restoring that which was stolen so that you could live the full life that I have for you. That I have for you. Marriages today, and I know that right now in this room, there are many marriages that, you know, you're on the rocks. Let's be honest. Marriage is hard. I will say this, without God, marriage is impossible. I've been married for 16 years. And I'll say I've had a really good marriage. But I've had to fight for it. We've had to fight for it. Just like I have to fight for my kids and their relationship with God. I have to fight for my marriage and my relationship with my wife. And friend, today, I don't know where your marriage is. And if it is on the rocks, I'll say this, it's worth fighting for. Husband, your wife is worth fighting for. Your wife is worth fighting for. And the way that you fight for her is you inspire her. Inspire her. Go and do something that she's been wanting to do for years. Just go and do it. Why? Not because it's her birthday, because you can. Because you want to. Oh yeah, but I work too much. You know what? One day work is going to finish up and all you're going to have is your wife. That's if you treat her right. Inspire her. Draw her along the journey with you. Draw her into the presence of God. The word says there in Ephesians, wash her with the water of the word. Wash her with the water of the word. And this is what it means is, you know, the word of God. Speak the word of God. Speak hope. Speak life over her. Yeah, but Sam, I don't really open the Bible. I don't really read. Well, you know what? How about you start putting worship on in your house? Well, I'm not a worshiper. We are called to worship. That's just a lame excuse for your laziness. I can say this because I'm not here next week. That's what I tell my congregation anyway. Don't be lazy, gentlemen. It'll cost you too much. It'll cost you too much. It'll cost you time that you don't have. It'll cost you too much. Lay your pride down. Inspire your wives. And wives, don't nag. Oh, it's a nerve. Don't nag. Again, inspire your husbands. Make them want to love you. Make them want to be around you. Desire them. Honor them as you honor God. Honor them in every way. Yeah, but you don't honor Him. Honor Him. Speak life, speak hope, and watch Him rise to the occasion. Change your language around the house. Make it faithful. Make it hope. Make it purposeful. T.D. Jakes makes this one statement. I'm going to close on this. It's a matter of time. Makes this statement. He says, the question at the proposal should not be, do you love me? And we hear that all the time. Do you love me? The question should be, but where are we going? Today, where is your marriage going? Where's your covenant relationship going? Where are you taking your wives? Where are you taking your families? Where are you going? Father God, I thank you for this amazing church. I thank you for these amazing couples that sit before me, these singles as well. But God, today I thank you that your heart is for relationship. Your heart is to connect with individuals. Lord God, your heart is for us to have a covenant relationship, a relationship with you, God. And that's why you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to show unconditional love, agape love, and he hung on a cross. And as he hung on the cross, it wasn't nails that held him there, but it was love for humanity. It was an act that was for the multitudes, but it was for the individuals. It was for the individual. Today, it's the same. Your desire is to have relationship with us. Just as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask, friend, today. I don't know everyone in this building, but I want to ask this today, friend. Do you have a relationship with God? Could you honestly say that you have a relationship with God today? You might have come in off the street. You may have been brought by a friend. And you don't know why you're here, but I'll say this, it's divine appointment. That's why you're here. Because God cares about you so much that he wants relationship with you. Friend, today he wants relationship with you. With you. And all it takes is for us just to acknowledge him. And I'm going to just say a short prayer. And if you want a relationship with God today, I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you in this prayer. And so I know who I'm praying with. I'd love for you just to just raise your hand. Just in this place, just raise your hand so I can pray. Thanks, mate. Does anyone else want to join this gentleman? If not, just hold it in your heart. You just say, you know, I'm going to pray. I want this prayer. I want a relationship with God. Just hold it in your heart as I pray as well. Father God, I know that you love us. You love us dearly, and that you would send your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And today we believe in Jesus. We acknowledge the sacrifice, the unconditional love he showed for all humanity, and your desire to have relationship with us. And today, Father, as those in the room right now that are in that moment of desiring relationship with you, Lord God, right now I pray that your Spirit would come and meet them where they're at as they acknowledge you. But Father God, I love that you love us so much that you say, hey, come as you are, but I love you, that I'll never leave you the way that you are. And that when we say yes to you, that your Holy Spirit comes and dwells inside of us and change starts to take place. And today, Father, I pray for change to come around people's hearts that are acknowledging you, that are walking in relationship with you from this day forward. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, let's give those ones a hand. That's good. If you made that decision, go to the Yes Bar straight after. Because we want to give you a Bible. We want to get you connected in the life of the church. This is a journey. It's a journey. Don't do it alone. Tell someone. The next thing is start praying. I don't know how to pray. Just say, hello, God. Start there. And then the other one is, if you don't have a Bible, we want to give you a Bible. If you come today and you don't have a Bible, we want to give you a Bible. Because you only know God as much as you know his words. The keys to life are in the Word, in his Bible. Make sure you get connected in the life. But it's great that you've made this decision. And for the rest of us, I want to say this. Young people, there's restoration, there's wholeness, there's healing. If you've fallen short of God's ideal, God's standard. He's calling you back. And I believe today, and we've run out of time, that God will bring restoration and healing. Marriage is in this place. Acknowledge. acknowledge who he is in your marriage. Spirit of God, over marriages right now, we declare wholeness, we declare life, we declare hope. Father, the blessing that you bestowed just for marriage today, let it flourish in this place, that every marriage in City Point North will glorify the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.